to missions. I want to preach a message today in reference to giving in a missions concept. And it's what I've entitled God's multiplication factor in giving. And actually uses that word multiply in the Bible. But we're going to begin in 2 Corinthians 8. And it's really, when you really get a handle on what giving is all about, it revolutionizes our lives. And it's not just money. Even Brother John mentioned as he was praying there, it's not just about money, it's about us. As a matter of fact, that comes first, amen. But there's some principles in this area that you want to tap into. Don't you worry. I'm not coming after your wallet today, amen, or your pocketbook or anything else, amen. I'm just going to preach to you a message that you can do with it what you will, amen. But it is a blessing to be a cheerful giver. It says actually in 2 Corinthians 9, which we'll see. But in 2 Corinthians 8, there are some principles given that you really want to know about. In Sunday school, we were talking about learning the paths of God, the ways of God. You can go through life in such a way that you ignore God's word and everything you do will be difficult. Amen? It'll be like you're trying to flow and travel upstream. It'll seem like there's like a constant current against you. Or you can get into the word of God and find out the paths of God, the pathways of God. And when you're on God's path, those same headwinds do not exist. Amen. And so this is one of those things. This is just a tremendous blessing that I hope that you'll really take benefit from this message today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." How? "That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance," this is tremendous, "the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty." It's interesting that those two things are together. The abundance, it says here, "of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power," watch this, "they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, in so much that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything." This is tremendous. So reading this text along, I don't want to lose anybody in it, amen. Sometimes when we read scripture and all that, we just kind of daydream, kind of zone out. This was a reset. Okay, we're set back to it, amen. Verse number 7, it says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything." Now, that is God's plan for your life, amen, that you abound in everything, amen. I hope that you're living that abundant life. God came, Christ came, not just so that you could live a subservient life that's horrible until Jesus come, amen. He came to give you life, and he came to give you life more abundantly in everything, amen. God desires you to experience that abundant life in Christ. And even in this right here with giving, verse 7, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice." This is good. Paul's giving us some advice here. Verse number 10, "For this is expedient for you." Do you see this? What he's teaching here, it's not by commandment. You don't have to engage. That's what I love about this. Amen. If we're preaching on the tithe, that is a commandment. Amen. This kind of giving we're talking about here, you don't have to participate in. Is that a blessing? You can just not be a part of what he's talking about. But he says it would be expedient for you if you would. Do you see that? So this is what we're talking about. Paul says, you don't have to. God's going to fund it one way or another. But if you want to be a part of this, this will be good for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward. A year ago, verse 11, a couple more verses. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, I will say this in reference to missions giving. There's a lot of different people that preach a lot of different things in reference to missions giving. I am one that actually believe that you give to missions or anything else over and above the tithe, not out of what you don't have, but by what you do have, out of what you do have. Amen? That's God's plan. The tithe, different story. Commandment, that's that 10% we give regardless. Giving, though, like this, New Testament giving, and in reference to the saints, as we're going to see here, and to really to missions endeavors, it's not to be done out of what you don't have, but based on what you do have. Amen? Verse 12 again, for if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that that a man hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. That's not the point. The point isn't that you become burdened through this and others eased, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want. Now, that verse right there is interesting. It's an exchange that's taking place, and we'll deal with that here in just a minute. Amen? And that there may be equality. Verse 15, lastly, it says, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. We thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you, God, for those in our lives that have given to us. God, I can look back over the years and see countless times that, God, you've poured out to me in such rich ways and other saints. And God, it's just a blessing being around people that God, love to be givers in reference to all things. And we thank you for that. Please bless this time together. Help this passage to come alive to us. Help to make sense to all of us. And I pray that we just be interested in seeing what Paul said here would be expedient for us. We don't have to engage. We don't have to. It's not required. But it would be good for us to engage in what he's talking about here. Help us to see what that is. And God, just move in mightily in our midst. In the midst of all this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can tell by all the distractions that the devil doesn't want you to get this message. Amen. Amen. It's just reality, amen. I'm not saying, and if you know that's your distraction, make sure you take care of it, amen. But the point is that what's being given here would be expedient for you to be able to engage in it. Now, why do we support missions and missionaries? New Testament churches, amen, are made up of people that have been born again, right? We're here together today because we've heard a message about our condition as a sinner and the reality that if we die in that condition, then we will have to go to a place that the Bible says, for the wage of sin is death, that place of death is called hell. And so we've heard that message, we've received that message, and we understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the one who came, who paid that penalty that we could not pay so that we could actually have our sins forgiven and then be made an heir of Christ, a joint heir with Christ, and be brought into the family of God. Totally brought back to that place that God would have us to be before sin actually existed on earth. Amen, which is a blessing and even better so. And so we now, as a group of called out believers, we saw our need, we received Christ Jesus, we repented of our sin, accepted him, and then we were willing to be baptized and following Jesus, and we became a part of this church as the church would then vote on receiving each one in. So how do you become a member of a church, McGregor Baptist Church? Well, number one, you have to be born again. And then number two, you need to articulate the fact that you've been saved to me or someone in our church. And then that'll actually funnel through me. And then if we believe that you are truly born again, then we will then recommend to the church that the church accept that profession of faith. And if you're willing to be baptized the Bible way, being brought under the water and immersion, brought up out of the water, in that context to be able to show what just took place in your heart, then you can join our church. Amen. Or having been baptized in the church of like faith. If you've already been baptized, different church, same type of church, same doctrine, same method, that's fine too. We can check that out and receive you in. Once we're joined together as members, right, now we work together for two main purposes. Our church has a twofold purpose, amen? Number one, we've been called to seek and to save that which is lost. That's Luke 19:10. That's what Jesus came here to do. We are an extension of his ministry, amen? And so we now understand the Great Commission, which is iterated in all the Gospels, amen, and in Acts, that now we as a church work together to see the world brought to the place that they understand their condition and ultimately would call on Jesus themselves. The second purpose of our church is to edify the body of Christ. We've covered that in Ephesians 4 and in other places. It plainly shows us that we have a ministry one to another, amen? Our church is not just about one person, not about me, not about you. It's about Christ, amen? And we come together as a body, one body, amen? And we're supposed to, in that body aspect, then tend one to another as we minister about what God has given us to minister in and through, amen? So we then seek to edify the body of Christ. The church is only as strong as the members are strong, amen? So if we have a person, a member that's hurting, we want to try to minister there and raise that one up, amen? If we have a member that is doing well, we want them to do better, amen? We're going to come alongside. We want them to actually be even better. Amen. It's like a team, amen? The team concept. It's like a chain, where the chain is only as strong as that weakest link, amen? And so we edify that body so that we collectively together can accomplish God's will better. Amen. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. So with that in mind, what is our missions program all about? Well, it's about supporting locally our mission to reach the world for Christ. And not only our mission here, but then around the world. The commission is a worldwide commission. And so really missions is just about trying to support the saints. Amen. Whether it's part of this local assembly or another local assembly, missions is about trying to get the gospel around the world and trying to do that in a way that would be biblical, but also effective. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. As we've already read, I'm going to call attention to a couple of things. It says, moreover, brethren, verse 1, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches. Amen? The grace. Grace means, grace of God is God's divine power and influence that he wants to mediate unto churches, unto members of churches. Now, God's divine power is his supernatural power. It's not just a natural power, it's supernatural. It's the grace of God, and it's what God gives to us to accomplish his will on earth. He is not giving this to the world. He has not given this to those that aren't able to receive it. He is giving it to those that are able and willing, of a ready mind, to receive the power of God to accomplish his purpose on earth. Keep your place here in 2 Corinthians 8 and turn over to James chapter number 4. Our text that we've read already shows God's plan for us as his saints in local churches to actually minister unto the saints, which ultimately will then minister unto the world. In James chapter 4, it says this, verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? It is not God's plan that God's people be at war with each other. It is not God's plan that God's people fight amongst themselves. Amen? It is God's plan that we come together in unity. Amen? Endeavoring, it says in Ephesians 4 actually, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So we are working together to be unified in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God so that the resources of God then can be applied in such a case that the world can hear about Christ and that other saints can be helped. That's what it's saying here in this text. It says, ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And the reason in this context in James, they weren't asking God for anything that would be in accordance with God's will and God's plan because they were too busy fighting amongst themselves. Amen. Fighting amongst themselves that they had little this, little that, little issues. And there was just a lot of infighting and it kept them from actually accomplishing God's will. And God's not going to give grace. He's not going to give power to you so that you can hit your brother a little bit harder. He is not going to give you power and understanding in the word so that you can be a better debater and put somebody else down. He's not going to give you power for that. But if you will be humbled, we'll see, and come together and realize just as a member, I'm just one member, and I'm called to work together for God's overall cause. He will give grace to that so we can be unified for the true reason we're here, which is to reach the world for Christ. Remember, he came seeking that which is lost. He came to seek and to save, and that's why we're here as well. It goes on to verse number six. It says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. See, what does all that mean? It means this. It means that the purpose of God is not going to be accomplished by us in our own strength. And the purpose of God is really not about us getting our own way and having our own individual life being all that we want it to be. As we humble before God, we realize there is a greater purpose on earth than our own individual lives. There is something greater going on in this world than what occupies our lives. And that's huge. In pride, we want to think that all that matters is me in my life. But the reality is we're just a small little speck on this planet and in this universe, amen? And there's some things that are a whole lot more important than us and our lives and our things, amen? And that's going to take a humility to recognize that, amen? We think, I need this so I can be happy. The reality is we already have everything we need to be happy. We don't need anything more. But we want God to buy into the reality that our own perceived reality is that my life is important. And you know, God knows that. He knows that your life's important because he came and died for you. But the in and out days of life and the things we occupy our time, a lot of that, quite honestly, it's important, but it's not the main thing. Amen. Does that make sense? And so now our lives should be occupied in this life in such a way that we buy into God's purpose and his overarching reason he is reaching out to the world. And what now we get to come into in reference to our Christianity and through us being a part of a local church. That takes humility. And if you through humility will understand that, now you're in line for the grace of God. If you would potentially use what God gave you for your own purpose and means, he's not going to give it to you. Does that make sense? All right. Turn back, if you will, to our text in 2 Corinthians 8. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he said that grace he gave was not in vain, but he labored abundantly based on that. Amen. We find in Ephesians, it says, by grace that we're saved. Amen. We know that it's by grace we live. We live by faith. Amen. Faith in God. But as we have faith in him, he gives us grace so that we can practically live. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, back there again, look at verse number 3. He said, for to their power, that's the Macedonians, who understood this, and they were yielded to God in the area of his commission. It says, for to their power I bear record, yea, watch this, and beyond their power. How could it be beyond their power? Because God gave them grace. Grace enables us to go beyond our power. We can only do so much with what God has given to us. But if we will yield ourselves to God, then God says he will grant us grace, which is his power. And then we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. We go beyond our power. Does that make sense? It says, beyond. It says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. And this is going to be the first thing that becomes important. Are you willing to be used of God in such a way that he can invest his power in your life and know that you will do right with his power? Because if you won't, you're not going to get his power. Amen? But if you will, amen. And it's a humbling thing to be used of God. It's a humbling thing to be thought of. Being counted faithful, right? Being put into the ministry, as Paul said. So it's a humbling thing. But if you will, with the right spirit, be willing to be used by God, then you're in line for his grace. Look at verse number 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, what he's saying is this, is that God wants to give you grace. And with that grace, God wants you to take unto yourself the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. What that means is this, fellowship. Remember, did that study on fellowship. Fellowship is not really a verb as much as it is a noun. We enter into fellowship, that ship with God that's heading in his direction. And when we together as saints get aboard that same ship with God, he gives us grace. And that ship is pointed towards reaching the world and ministering unto the saints that are on the ship. Okay? There's a reason for this, as we're going to see. Amen? Verse 5. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything. We're going to stop there. All right. So God has given us grace to enter into this fellowship so that then we could then be engaged in the ministering unto the saints, who are all the key players that God is using to accomplish his purpose. You with me? All right, look over at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. So God, if you're willing, wants to give you grace as you enter on into his ship. This is for saints. This isn't to be saved. It's for ministry. To enter into his ship, which is heading in a direction of reaching the world for Christ. And on that ship are all the other saints that God says, with your grace, I want you to minister unto. The ministry is not just about reaching the lost. It's about ministering unto your fellow teammates doing the same thing. All right? Very important. And that's what we see in this text. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members which of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant
honor, for our comely parts have more abundant, and our comely uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And now it says, now are ye the body of Christ and members in particular. Okay. The reason this text is important in reference to what we're looking at is this, is that if we are going to accomplish our purpose of Christ on earth, it's not going to just be about reaching the lost. It is about reaching the lost, but it's not just about reaching the lost. A huge part in what we do, a major part in what we do, is just minister to the saints. It's huge. We would like just to be individual commandos that don't have to worry about anybody else, because that's our nature, right? And we go off and we do our own thing, and I don't care what happens with everybody else. But that is not God's plan. God's plan is that he wants to give us grace, not so that we can just ourselves take and use that to go reach souls. Maybe with some of that, but the majority of that grace is given so it can be distributed to the saints. Because you have what I need, and I have what you need. What's interesting about God is God rarely gives us what we need. He gives us what somebody else's needs, and he gives another saint what we need. So God gives us what we need indirectly. But he has set it up such that the only way we as a church end up having what we need is if we are all in a right ministry mindset unto each other. Does this make sense? So what you need, another saint has. And you'll only get it if they're willing to give it. God didn't give me this. That's because he doesn't give us directly many things. That's why. Normally, the normal path for us receiving is in a body concept that's being discussed here by the grace of God. And God gives grace or gives something to somebody else that if they're in tune with God and willing, then they will minister unto you. And that keeps things right in the body. It keeps things joined together. If God gave us directly what we needed, we could all operate independently and be just fine. But that is not God's plan. It's just like in marriage, right? God gives your spouse what you need, and if they're not willing to give it to you, you just go unfulfilled. And they might say, well, I just don't this. Okay, well then, you're not being used by God. Because that's how marriage works. Why? It keeps the marriage knit together. That's why. This has to make sense before we go on. If God gave us directly what we needed, we could operate independently and be just fine. God doesn't. He gives it to somebody else who, if they'll minister, now you'll receive it. But you won't get it unless they're ministering. Man, that's how God works. This is how it's supposed to operate. This is how the ministry operates. Amen. All right, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It is God's will and plan, then, that all of us abound in everything. But the only way we will abound in everything is if we understand this concept of how the grace of God and the supply of God is ministered to all of us in everything. Amen. He wants us to abound in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence in our love towards each other, towards the saints, towards God. He wants us to abound in everything, but it will only happen if we will apply 2 Corinthians 9. So go there, please. 2 Corinthians 9 and in verse number 1. This is where the multiplication aspect of God's plan comes in. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 and the 7,000? If I recall it right, he just prayed and God just gave everybody their food all on their own. Is that what happened? No. He looked around and he saw a little boy. Could that little boy on his own feed everybody? No. What did he do? He gave what he had unto the Lord. And what did the Lord do with it? He multiplied it. Could that boy have just ate his lunch and been fine? Yeah, but only for a short time, because when they all left, I mean, he took leftovers with him that were far beyond what he started with. Not only was it multiplied for the boy, it satisfied the needs of everyone. How? He was willing of himself to give that little bit he had. Wow. This is the multiplication aspect of ministry giving. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you, meaning they already got it. For I know the forwardness of your mind. Amen. And it goes on from there, but let's go ahead and jump down for sake of time to verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up the bounty beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready, watch this, as a matter of bounty and not as of covetous. In other words, tapping into God's multiplication product or process will never work if it's a matter of covetousness. In other words, if that little boy said in his heart, I'll give this because I know if I do, I'll give more, it wouldn't have worked. Do you see that? We don't give in this way because of what we know we'll get. We give because we know what God will do with it in helping out others to ultimately accomplish the cause. And then we just trust God to take care of us. Does that make sense? It can't be a matter of covetousness in heart. It must be a matter of bounty, meaning God will take and use it bountifully. Amen. All right, verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, he is showing us a principle here of how it works. Now, they've been harvesting out here. If you take one little kernel of corn and plant it in the ground, what does it produce? A corn stalk, right? One kernel, just one. And that thing grows, and then you get an ear off, usually just one ear of corn per plant, per stalk. Sometimes two, normally one. I verified this talking to Luke and others. It's usually just one. Do you know how many kernels of corn are on an ear of corn? I looked it up today. There's more than one. Do you know, because I looked at a thing and actually did the math and it counted around and down and it said the average. Do you know what the average is? It's about 580 kernels from one per ear. You're mowing down on like 500 of them little guys. Amen. Amen. But here's the point. Can you tell me how's that process work? I mean, how does that work that you plant that one and it makes? How does that work? No one can tell me how that works. Nobody can. Nobody can. You can't tell me how that little seed does that. Right? God does it. We accept it because we've done it. We've reproduced it. We know that's how it works. But we can't tell you how it works.
This is what he's saying here. If a farmer has 100 acres and he chooses to only plant on 1 acre, will he have a sparse crop or a huge crop at the end of the season? Well, based on the land he had, if he had the corn to plant there, he would have been better off planting the whole 100 acres, wouldn't he? Okay, and that's what this is saying. Remember, God is not saying go rob the corn store to plant. He's saying you're only going to plant what you have to plant. God is not asking you to plant corn that you don't have. He's saying, but what you do have, understand, what you keep to yourself isn't going to multiply like what you plant. If you'll plant it, God says, I'll take over, and before your eyes, I'll do a miracle, and before you're done, that one's going to turn into potentially 580. We don't know how it happens, but we know that's what God says does happen, and we see it in the natural realm in reference to something like corn. Now, look at verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Now, again, this is not a command. We saw that in the previous text. You don't have to. But he says, if you're willing and want to engage as a believer in this work here to minister unto the saints, he says, then by all means, if you purpose in your heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. You don't have to. You don't have to. Or of necessity. The tithe, it's of necessity. Because if you don't give the tithe, God's going to cut a hole in your sack. See the difference? There's the tithe, the 10%, and then there's the giving over and above the tithe. Does that make sense? The over and above giving, you don't have to. By the way, God does not multiply the tithe like he does the giving. The principle of the tithe is just, you do as God said there, or I'll just take it from you anyway. Right? And he never says, though, that he'll multiply that. But in reference to New Testament giving beyond the tithe, that's where this comes in. So you can't engage in this kind of giving until the tithe is first given. Does that make sense? All right. If you're not sure about that, please, we'll talk about it later. Amen. But that's biblical. Now, he says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Do you know why the giver becomes cheerful? Same reason why the farmer gets giddy when he sees all that corn going into the bin, amen, that he's going to take down and turn that into increase so that he could do it all over again. That's why. Look at verse number 8. And God is able to make all, what's that word? Remember how we started talking about grace? That's the power of God. God is able to make all grace abound toward who? You. That ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Oh, wow. The abundant Christian life, the key to the abundant, fruitful Christian life is right here. Remember, God doesn't give us grace typically, though he can, typically directly. He gives it to another saint that we're close to, who then, if he buys into this, he then transfers that as he gives that in a sense to that saint, which is like planting it in the ground. And that's where the multiplication process really picks up. Is when you have a bunch of saints that buy into this principle, they're ministering one to another, it becomes very abundant. And then now with that overage that's overflowing in the group, now we reach the world. Most people do not understand this, and what they do is they try on their own to minister by what they have, but they don't have much. So they don't accomplish much. They're too busy about fighting over this and fighting over that and trying to hoard this and grab that. They don't get the process, and so not much happens. But if a group gets a hold of this, God's multiplication process is amazing. not just so we could say, look at what we have. No, so that we can then take that to reach the world. Does that make sense? That's God's plan. All right. Let's see verse number 10. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower. Oh, this is beautiful. He that ministereth seed to the sower. Whoa, whoa. Say, what is that? Okay. That's the saint ministering seed to another saint. Remember, God gave grace to you that was meant for somebody else. So you minister to them in reference to their need, whatever that may be. So this is great. It says in verse number 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That's almost hard to figure out unless you understand what's going on. I have a seed, but God wants me to sow it in that believer. So I take the grace of God, I see this saint who has a need, I minister to that saint. And as I minister to that saint sows that seed that was needed, takes care of the issue. By doing that, God then supplies seed or bread now, ultimately the end of the process, not only for the one you minister to, but for you too. And we see that directly with the feeding of the 5,000. The boy took what he had. Seemingly, I'm going to go hungry now. It's like the boy could say, okay, I'm going to sacrifice my lunch so that everybody, you know, so somebody else can eat. Right? That's what it looks like. It looks like the boy's going to go without. That's what it looks like. So he takes his, what God gave him. He gives it unto the Lord. The Lord then, through this process, ministers abundantly and then says, oh yeah, here you go. Here's your feast. He ate more than what he had to start with, and everybody else did too. That's this process. Amen. By the way, a process you don't have to be a part of. You don't have to. You can keep your one kernel and eat that all you want. The one kernel. That's why people struggle. They won't let go of what they won't let go of their one kernel. Got my one kernel. If you would be willing to sow that into another believer, you might get yourself a whole ear. You put butter on, a little salt, amen, and tear down. But it won't just be you doing that. It'll be a bunch of people because you were willing to sow that one. Do you see what I'm saying? That's God's plan. Verse 11, very quickly, and we'll finish. Verse 11 through 15, let's read this. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints. It's exactly what's being taught. This doesn't just supply the lack or want of the saints, the other saints in your boat, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. God's even glorified through this. Look at verse 13. Whilst by the, what's it called? An experiment. God calls this an experiment. He says, get into the lab, get into the science lab here, try this thing out. It's absolutely amazing how this works. By the experiment of this ministration, that's ministry, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the what? See, it's still all about the gospel. The needs are met, there's an overabundance, and with that we reach people with Christ. And for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, now they're praying for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. They're so thankful. You start, you know how you gain a bunch of people praying for you? You start giving to them, amen. And you start giving to people and being a help to people, and now people remember you all the time, and now they're praying for you all the time. Do you see how this is a win-win-win-win-win? Souls are being reached, amen. The gospel's going out. You're being cared for. They're being cared for. They're praying for you. It is absolutely amazing. This is the ministration that's being talked about here. It's a great experiment of God, and it works. This is why ministry becomes addicting. Those of us that engage in this, and no doubt could engage more, this is why ministry becomes addicting. Because we believe passages like this and try God on it. You know, a lot of people, if you apply this to, you know, monetary giving and all that, a lot of people go through life and their financial outlook's horrible. And they say, we had a person come through not too long ago, a gal, and wanting to give and all that, because realized that, man, I'm struggling financially and I just need to give. So God stops taking it from me. That's the tithe. You're right. If you give, God will stop taking it. But either way, you lose it, in a sense. Right? This type of giving is when you're right with God, you're a member, you're engaged in ministry. You don't have that covetous issue like that. You're just ministering. And God is showing us how to effectively minister. This is not about twisting God's arm. This isn't about forcing God to pay your bills. That's not what this is all about. This is about how can we be effective in ministry. And the way we're effective is, that tithe thing, all that's, you're good there. The way you're effective in ministry then is engage in ministering to the saints with what God gave you. Because when you do that, God multiplies it. He ends up caring for your needs in the process. And then from the perspective that the whole boat is doing well, we then take that and go reach the world for Jesus Christ. That's how we're supposed to do it. Amen? And it's something you don't have to do. It's something you're encouraged to do. Amen? So in our missions, which we're probably, because we've lost a couple families, different things, with the creditors going up, different ones and all that. We're right on the edge of making it there. I would encourage you on our missions program, give to it. Amen? Say whatever you've been given. I think Dana and I are going to increase it after this message. Amen? Amen! We got some extra. We could throw some more in there. Amen? And you just give like that. You give to the needs of others. And here are these people that are connected with our church that are over there ministering, and you're connected there, and then they connect back, and on and on and on. This is how it works, so that the world is reached. This is how God multiplies these. Get addicted. Not always having, and I know we all have needs. I get it. Get addicted to, in the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, it abounded under their riches of their liberality. You can't wait to where you feel like you have enough. No, it says just look at what you do have. Don't give out of what you don't, but what you do have, let God use that in your life to minister to somebody. It could be words of encouragement. It can be so many things. This isn't just monetarily, but it is monetarily. It's in everything. Get used to, instead of looking for people to minister to you, you look for others to minister to and be a help to. And you start sowing like that. God says he'll take that, multiply that. Before you know it, you look back and you get giddy over it. Wow, I can't believe how God's taking care of me. My attitude's better. My health is better. My everything is better. Because I just learned how to minister, not to the people that are going to take and waste it. No, that's different. This is ministering unto the saints. Because it's us that are in this thing with God to ultimately accomplish his purpose. That's the mission's plan. And whatever that means for you, I would say it's expedient for you to give in this way. If you haven't been given to missions, I would encourage you to.
Amen.
Weekly. Give to missions weekly. If you've not been sowing in this way unto the saints and caring about other saints, start caring. Find out what needs are. Do what you can to help another saint out. Amen. Bear their burden. Amen. A little bit. And before you know it, you'll see this multiplication process take root in your life. Amen. God, thank you for today. Thank you, God, for the time together. Lord, this teaching in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is just tremendous. It's not just there, but it's very well laid out here. Lord, help us as saints to see your heart in this thing and how you desire to truly open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. But it's not directly. It's always indirectly. And until we realize this process, we're going to struggle. We're going to struggle with our little one kernel and wonder why we're struggling. And it's because our heart is not where it needs to be with you. Lord, we first must be born again, and we must join under your church, your people, through baptism, or at least if that's already been taking place, just by letter coming on in. And then together in the same boat, ministering one to another and watching you through that, God, multiply in such a way that there'll be such an abundance that we can't help but reach out and try to win our world here for Christ with what you've given. Thank you, God. And through it all, you're thanked. Thank you, God, for this process. And I pray that each person receive the message right, and maybe each one would spend a little time in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 for themselves and study this out on their own to see what's here. God bless and help, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you for revealing to us this multiplication plan of how we are then to be reaching out, but then ministered to not only by others, but through you, so that we can have in a magnificent way so we can reach this world. Help us now. Bless this time together. Bless this invitation time in Jesus' name.